Hey guys, welcome back to the Small Time Critics podcast. I'm one third of the Small Time Critics. My name is Mo.
No, I'm Raji.
And thank you for joining us on another edition of reviews. As you can see from the title of the video, Hashi, I know you're excited about this one.
So excited.
Hashi was, last year, the end of the year, Hashi was clamoring. Just
I called this guy.
So many times, Mo, watch the holdovers. Watch the holdovers, watch the holdovers. I said, I'm going to get to it, Hashi. I'm gonna get to it.
Has to know.
Yeah.
That's what you know.
And then I ended up watching it. And I'm so glad you were that persistent because we're gonna get into it. We'll see. But yeah, this movie, as you can see from Tyler's video, and like I mentioned, we're gonna be talking about The Holdovers, directed by Alexander Payne.
Yes.
This is starring Paul Giamatti, Dominic Sessa, the. Divine Joy Randolph.
Goodness
me. Hey guys, I have a problem with her. I don't know why I say divine, and Hashi keeps reminding me to say divine. It's divine.
Her performance is divine.
It's divine because she is so divine. Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Divine, we love you over here in the Small Time Critics studio. Divine Joy Randolph. And do you want to get into non-spoilers?
Yes.
All right. Before we get into non-spoilers, guys, like, comment, subscribe. Just subscribe. It's just one click.
Easy.
You know?
Easy.
It ain't gonna do it's just a click.
Just a click.
One like
click.
I said, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So yeah, help us out, subscribe. I don't know. We do good stuff here.
Great stuff.
You know? We're pretty consistent with our long form content. Maybe the shorts we could do better on,
We
will be doing better on. We've got a lot of plans for this year, so yeah, just look out for that kind of stuff. You asked me to check who the writer was before this.
Yes.
So I think it's important that we shout that person out.
Writers are important.
Writers are very important because movies can be a dud with bad writing.
Yes.
The writer for this movie was David Hemmingson.
Yeah.
And we can see that's his first screenplay. Their first screenplay.
But they're not out of park.
Which is, to me, incredible that is your first screenplay. How is that possible that you can write that good for your? Have you seen anything with him spoken about how long it took or anything like that?
He's an older gentleman, so he's been writing for quite a while. I mean, this is the first script that broke in, so I assume he's probably been writing for years and years and years.
Wow.
Honing his craft to get to where he is now.
Do you know how inspiring that is?
100%, bro.
You just got to keep going.
100%. You got to keep on grinding.
I don't know if you don't know, Hashi's a writer too. Hashi's, look here, he got gas. He's like, shucks.
Thank you, my bro.
Hashi's a writer too, and Hashi's going to be having a lot of scripts trying to bring out. So, I don't know, studios, look out for that. If anyone from any studios are watching.
They will be.
Yeah, look out for that.
Yeah.
Hash, non-spoilers we'll start off with.
This is a wonderful holiday movie.
Chat to me.
It's a movie about growing up as a human being. It's a really, really great, heartwarming story about the human condition, about people at different stages of their life,
yeah,
and how they are kind of dealing with the troubles of life, so to speak, and how hard life can be sometimes. It's just a really, really great character study on
three
different stages, yeah.
Do you think, like, similar to Kitchen, it's also about class?
Oh, without doubt.
Right?
It's about class.
Yeah.
It's about a period of time in American history.
Yeah.
In and around the kind of war,
yeah,
in the 1970s, it's kind of, you can see the homage to kind of Hal Ashby films, you know what I mean, the Cat Stevens score, you know what I mean, stuff like that, to a time before, even the way the film is directed and the way it's shot is very, very 70s, trying to go back to that kind of period of time and stuff like that.
Almost grainy.
Grainy, in terms of transitions, a lot of dissolves and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So again, harking back to a certain time in history and in terms of filmmaking as well. It's such a fantastic film. In terms of the premise and what, in comparison to Kitchen, the premise isn't something that's crazy. It's a very, very simple premise. But the way it sustained for 2 hours plus, and it works so well, and before the end of the movie, you're thinking, I want to stay here forever. I want to watch another 2 hours of this, and it just ends, and you're like, oh my goodness, it ended.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was 2 hours and something,
yep.
It's just an absolute feat of storytelling,
yep.
Feat of filmmaking, and more importantly, performances. We have some of the most incredible performances from definitely one person who's going to most likely win the Oscar in Divine Joy Randolph, and I think in Paul Giamatti, he may also
Don't joke like that.
Huh?
Don't joke like that.
I'm just saying.
Don't joke like that.
He's, you know what I mean? All of the, you know what I mean? He's all the bellwether awards, like the Critics' Choice Awards.
Not all.
He won a Golden Globe. Just saying.
Killian won the, which one did Killian win?
The drama. Best drama one. Whereas, for some reason, The Holdovers was put in the category for the Golden Globes of comedy/musical.
Oh, both of them got a Golden Globe, though.
Yeah.
Okay, and now they're going up against each other in Best Actor in the Oscars.
Yes, Oscars, BAFTAs. Yeah. So, also, you know what I mean? We haven't seen what happened in SAG.
We're both completely on the other side of this one.
Oh, we'll see. We'll
see. You see him after his Golden Globes? He was in, was it Five Guys or In-N-Out Burger?
In-N-Out Burger,
yeah. Just munching with his Golden Globe on the table.
Exactly.
What a guy,
his
man.
His performance is so fantastic. He's always had fantastic performances. Obviously, he has great kind of a relationship with Alexander Payne because he was also in his one of the best movies. One of my favorite movies, Sideways.
You say this about everything, Hash.
Bro, it's a
great everything film. Is one of your favorite movies.
Hey, listen, I love cinema. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? They're like my children. Do I have favorites? It's hard to have favorites. I do have certain favorites.
Hash ain't got children though. Yeah, but
not yet.
He's just saying, isn't it?
that's what my mom says. That I have no favorites, but I know I'm her favorite though.
No, it's like that, yeah.
100%.
Shout out, mom.
Shout out, Mumsy. But yeah, he's got such a great relationship. He did Sideways, which is an incredible film, which you should watch. So fantastically funny, so heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
He's
very underrated.
He's just such a great actor. He's been acting for so long.
I feel like not until this year where he started getting his kind of props, you know?
But then even Alexander Payne, who's a great writer, like Downsizing, which a lot of people hate Downsizing, with Matt Damon.
Which
I actually like. I thought was a decent film. He's done Nebraska, which I think was like heavily critically acclaimed and Oscar nominated.
I think
he's just done so many great things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So many great films. He's such a great filmmaker. And he's absolutely knocked out of the park here. And I think it's time for us to go into spoilers, bro.
Just before we get into that, I thought it was great. Great movie, great writing, performances were incredible. Paul Giamatti really was in his bag in this. And I have to shout out Divine because for me, every scene that she was in, oh my goodness, man. Oh my goodness. If she doesn't win Best Supporting Actress for me, I think it's maybe...
She will. Yeah. I don't see anyone else in that.
But there are some worthy contenders. So maybe it's not... What do you mean?
I don't think so.
You don't think so at all?
Not at all, honestly.
Really?
It's her, and then it's like a drop-off. How about that?
Lily Gladstone? No, wait, is she best actress?
She's best actress.
Best actress, yeah.
This is supporting I'm talking about.
This is supporting. So who else would there be? Danielle Brooks?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about Oscar nominees when we get to that episode, so look out for that one anyway. But fantastic movie. I didn't think a story like this could get me hooked, but I was honestly hooked like after the first couple scenes, I think.
Yeah.
I was all the way in, and the fact it made me, even Dominic Sessa's character, the fact it made me care about his kind of struggle a little bit and whatnot is just, I don't know, I think it's a testament to the writing.
Let's get
into
spoilers now, come on.
All right, get into the spoilers, man. Go talk about spoilers. Okay. But, hey, if you ain't seen it, go watch it and come back. But, you know, we're about to get into the spoilers for The Holdovers now. So, Hashi, I know you've been waiting for this, so hit it.
So this film is set in a boarding school in New England.
Why is it set in the 70s?
I believe...
Because you can do a story like this now, right?
But I believe it's in the 70s because this is kind of what happened to the writer. I think he was in this kind of situation.
Oh, really?
Charles, who's kind of a bit kind of autobiographical in a way for the writer.
Was he a rich boy?
I'm not too sure. But again...
I just look at all of those private school guys as that.
But to be fair, the movie does talk about students who are on kind of like... their parents have found it very, very hard to be able to afford to get them there.
Who have to work multiple jobs. I get it.
Stuff like that.
I get it. Not everyone is going to be... Some people are going to have parents that are, like, you know, working extremely hard just to get you into these schools.
So that goes into the whole premise of the whole movie. What are holdovers? Holdovers are kids who cannot go back home for Christmas for different reasons.
For the holidays,
Some of the kids said, like, oh, my parents can't afford it kind of thing. So I have to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
There's one character who said, I don't want to get a haircut. So my dad said, I have to stay here. And he's a rich boy who his dad has a freaking helicopter, stuff like that. and kind of thing. And then obviously Dominic Sessa, whose parents are divorced.
They pretty much didn't care about
and
him.
And his mum didn't really care because she was with her new man, yeah, kind of thing. And she said, I'm sorry, you just got to have to stay. And he didn't want to stay. He was looking forward to traveling. And he's teasing the rest of his kind of, I mean,
I felt sorry for classmates. Him in that phone call with his mum, was just saying, please like, don't do this to me. Yeah. And
yeah.
That was, yeah, that hit me a little
and
bit.
And then you have, obviously, Paul Giamatti's character, who's a teacher who is hated not just by the student body, but also by the faculty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because of how he is as a person, how he is very kind of forthright in keeping to the rules and to the standards of the school and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He takes pride in what he does. He's a very, very smart guy, but doesn't really have the social cues.
But also a very insecure man.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you know because I mean? I think he feels like he should have done more in his life than what he's done. And he has the knowledge and he has the smarts to do more, but it just didn't work out
And also
him.
The confidence, as we find out later on in the film.
Yeah.
He
smelled like fish.
Oh, poor guy, man.
Do you remember what it was? Triple in the dysphobia.
Some crazy medical condition.
It was a crazy one. Yeah, I saw an interview and he was like, I've never heard of this in my life, but apparently he just smelled like fish. And I was just like, okay, cool.
Crazy. Crazy. And like the way, and later in the film, when Dominic Sessa's character says to him, like, you know, you stink, right? I was like, yo, this is mad. Why would you say that to someone? That's crazy.
At that point, they had bonded enough for it. Like, and sometimes young people are just, they're cheeky like that. Oh, they don't know when and when not to say
that's
things.
That's the innocence of childhood.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought the whole kind of premise and him and Paul Giamatti's character being this kind of like responsibility being foisted on him by a guy who's, by the way, a horrible person, pretended that his mum's dying to be able to get out of looking after the kids kind of thing, by the way.
Is this? Sorry.
There's another teacher that was meant to be looking after the holdovers.
Yeah.
But he said, oh, I'm sorry, he told like the headmaster, oh, I have a family problem, my mum's dying or something like that. And then Paul Giamatti's character goes up to him and goes, oh, I'm very sorry to hear about your mother. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Sorry,
yes,
my
yes,
mother.
Yes,
yeah. Kind of thing. And then
and they knew it was going to fall back on Paul Giamatti to be the one to
everyone
become.
Hates him.
Yeah.
And there was, put it on him because he's not going to go home. Yeah. He's a lonely person. It's not like he's going to do anything. Yeah. It's good to him kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I felt like once everyone had gone and stuff like that, and it was just Divine, can you bring up the characters' names? Like Divine Joy Randall's character is there.
Mary Lamb.
The reason why she's there is because she can't go home because she hasn't got anyone because her son died protecting this country, protecting America during the Vietnam War. And I just felt like you could automatically see the sadness in her and you automatically feel sorry for her because of that.
And that's what's incredible. You didn't even need to see what happened with the son
to
feel her pain
throughout
the movie. That's how, to me, how good the writing was.
And towards, before they all go off to holiday and you see the picture of the son and the kind of the chaplain talking about, you know what I mean, like Christmas and that kind
of stuff.
And talking about the people that we've lost and remembering people. Yeah. Just a picture of him.
Yep.
That's all you needed.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I just felt like once the kids were there initially and you kind of see the hijinks ensue and the kind of funny, like how they call it all butting heads and how like Dominic Sessa doesn't like, what do you call it, a certain character who stays there.
So he was Angus Tully.
So, and I loved how Paul Giamatti's character, Paul Hunnam, kept on saying, Mr. Tully.
Yeah.
Never addressed him by his, you know what I mean, first name, until later into the film.
Yeah. I've had a teacher like that before.
Is it?
Yeah, Mr. This, Mr. That, yeah.
Interesting.
To them, it was a respect thing, innit?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, we share the same to each other, you know what I mean? So I'm going to call you that.
You better put a sir in front of that.
Yeah, you call me sir, whatever it is, and this is what it is. I don't know if there's an Americans watching. I don't think they call their teachers sir and miss and stuff like that, do they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we in the UK, we're used to sir and miss and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to say, I love the relationship with Paul and Mary and how she's in a much lower position than him in the school, but he has so much respect for her, as he should.
Yes.
As he should, and especially like with these kids who like, they're a bit disrespectful. Like one of them said, just because her son died or whatever, and then Paul just ripped into him.
And listening to cooking.
Yeah, he just ripped into him. Like, and I was like, yes, exactly. That's what you should do. And she would also tell him about himself and like, why ain't you got no one and things like that. And
You can't even dream a full dream.
Yeah, I thought their relationship was pretty amazing. But, hash, there's one scene in this movie and it's the main reason I feel like she should win Best Supporting Actress. It's in that party.
Yes.
And she was kind of almost just losing it a little bit.
Yeah.
And she didn't even have much dialogue. Mm. It was just her face and what she did, just acting with her eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was incredible, man. She blew me away, honestly, man. She was, I thought she was great in that scene. Yes. Perfect.
And she kind of had her own love interest, the caretaker character. He was kind of giving her presents and stuff
like that. Yes, yes. You're bringing it back, man. I'm remembering these things now.
You know what I mean? And I thought that was pretty cool and pretty funny. And they had, I think the movie really begins, obviously, once the other kids, the holdovers, who left because all their parents said they could go skiing in Aspen with that rich kid with the long hair.
Yeah.
And his dad came with a helicopter. And it's so funny. He goes,
oh, I wanted to fight that kid.
And that kid was a good guy. He was like part of the football team. The one with the longer hair, not the other kid. Not the other guy.
I'm talking about the brat.
The ones that butted heads with the
he was such a brat. Oh, my goodness. And then he bullied the Asian child.
Yes.
I was just like, leave.
Said a racial slur as well.
Yeah, just like, I think it was so cold, it's snowing, and he threw one of his gloves away, innit?
Just
the one. Just take them both, bro. Oh, my days. That annoyed me so much. I wanted to fight him, man. Those kind of people, I don't care. I ain't scared to say it. They need a punch in the face. Those kind of people need a...
Without doubt.
They need to be beaten up at least once in their life. Just to understand, you can't act like this.
You can't do that.
Yeah, but... Yeah, you're right. Once they left is when the movie properly got going.
And then you see, what do you call it, Angus's character really, really getting sad that he's the only one there.
Yeah.
He starts playing up. There's a wonderful sequence where he's running around the school and Paul Giamatti's character, he cannot catch him.
Hey, listen, that's probably one of my favourite, like, in terms of performance and Paul Giamatti's performance, that was my favourite part of his performance. That scene there. When he's like, Mr. Tully, you mother effing F this and that. And he was running like this.
He was so bad at running. You know what I mean? All over the game. All over the like, the worst running form. Even any physical exertion from him was so funny because like he tried to stretch one time. And even him stretching, he fell off balance. And then when he tried to throw the football, oh, that was so funny. Such a shocking throw. It was so funny.
He was great, man.
Yeah.
He was incredible. Oh my gosh. But yeah, no, keep going, please.
And I just felt like any dialogue that he had in between, what do you call it, Dominic Sessa's character.
Yeah.
And even with his kind of quasi love interest, which didn't turn out to be a love interest.
Yeah.
And you felt so bad for him at the party. Because
even I thought, like, oh, she's
into him. And everyone is saying she's into you.
Yeah. It's like she's feeling him a little bit. Yeah. He just felt so discouraged when he realized what it was. But another favorite scene of mine is when him and Angus Tully, I guess they go on their, I think this is at this point, they've gone on their little field trip.
It's after he's broke his arm.
I believe so.
Yeah.
And they meet.
He didn't break his arm, sorry. I think he's dislocated.
Yeah. His shoulder or something like that. Yeah. But they meet one of Paul's old classmates, I think.
Yes.
It was. And they're just talking, and then you can see, like, it showed me that Paul Giamatti realized in that moment, like, okay, I guess not all of us are so different. Like, I'm gonna lie to kind of make myself look good.
And he's told his students before, you shouldn't lie.
Yeah, and then he did it. Yeah, and Angus backed him a little bit though with the story, which I thought was nice.
Yes.
Yeah, it was nice to see their bond getting stronger and stronger. And at the end of it, when they had to part ways, Angus was also almost more sad to leave Paul almost
even before,
for them to
even
part
before
ways.
That,
like,
I think they bonded because of that lie, and then he took him to the kind of corner store where he got liquor, started drinking, because he started feeling a type of way, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think one of the most important scenes, and you could kind of see it coming.
Woo! Sorry guys, my African came out. I didn't get
goodness
it though.
Me. Wow.
Punk ass fly. That's it. It's like a scene from The Holdover, isn't it?
It's so African. Goodness me. But anyway, like I was saying, I think the most one of the most pivotal scenes is when they're in the cinema after they kind of bonded and they've talked through the lion and how he feels like he hasn't fulfilled his potential and stuff like that.
This is Porteous almost,
And then they're in the cinema and then he said, oh, I'm good to go. And then, he's like, yeah, no problem, you can go.
Yeah.
And then he kind of thinks about him and he goes out and he sees him catching the taxi. Go, why? Where are you going?
Yeah.
I'm visiting my dad. No, but I can come with you. He's thinking it's obviously a funeral. He's going to go to like a.
He's actually going to see
a cemetery, isn't it?
A person.
Yeah, but he didn't know he's actually still alive. You know what I'm saying?
He wasn't alive.
No, he was alive.
No, wait.
Because he was in the. You know what I mean? The. He was obviously in a facility because obviously he wasn't.
Right. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. He was. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it's just so sad. He's talking about his school and stuff like that. And he just says, like, something crazy about how they're, you know what I mean?
Because when his dad was okay is when he was properly happy, isn't it? Fully happy in his life. And now it's just like, mom doesn't care about him. She's with this new boyfriend who also doesn't care about him. And Yeah, it's really sad, man. That was really sad. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Ugh.
It was that. That was a very, very sad moment. And I think once they go back to school, and then they find out what had happened and stuff like that. Yeah. And I felt that scene in the headmaster's office
with the parents. Yeah.
And just fantastic. Honestly, that was such a fantastic scene. We just told him, you know what I mean? Like, that was the right thing to do.
He took the hit for him, isn't it?
And then. When he said to that guy who he used to teach, by the way, the headmaster, he goes, "You're like penis cancer." It was just so funny, man. You know what I'm saying? It was just so funny. Yeah. Just so funny because it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And also, set up, payoff.
Chat to me.
The eye thing, which I had to look at.
Okay.
And he goes to him. What do you call it? When he comes.
He tells him which eye it is. Yeah.
This eye.
Yeah.
And I thought.
What did that mean to you?
That's like. We fully bonded. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I know you, you know me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can tell you the most personal things about you. You know what I'm saying?
I can be vulnerable with you and things like that. Yeah.
And I felt like even when Evangeline Randolph, Mary's character, sits with him, she just gives him the hand and then Angus grabs the hand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to get in trouble and he just feels bad because, you know what I mean?
And they bonded too, especially with that cake. Remember the cake bit?
Yeah.
They were outside and they... Was it a cake? I don't know what it was, but they lit it up.
It had alcohol. He goes, no, I can't give you the alcohol. It's mine. Come on. Yeah. What's wrong with you? He was outside. It's so funny. He does it on the car and completely goes
off. But I saw a comment somewhere and I have to agree with it, man. But there was a handshake in this scene that was as powerful as any hug in any movie that you can see.
I was so emotional.
That handshake at the end.
I was on the edge. I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, part of me was like, you know, just hug. But then the handshake's like, you know what? That's good enough. That's good enough for me. Yeah.
I love this film. And the way it ended, anyway, just looking across all the ways you could go in life, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand new beginning. It's incredible, man. It's such a great film, honestly. I love this film so much.
And he's probably changed, like, obviously, we haven't seen after that scene, the movie ends, but he's probably changed his life.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be a different kind of person moving forward. And
yeah. And there's such great gags in the film. Like, he keeps on giving everyone the same kind of book on stoicism as well. It's just so funny. He's got a whole box of them. Hilarious. Hilarious stuff.
There's a line in the trailer as well. It's like, he's like, sir, whatever it is, I can't fail this class. He's like, no, I think you can.
He's just so great.
Honestly. He was great. But still, I don't think he's going to win it.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Okay. I think I know who you think is going to win it.
You know who I think is going to win it. My boy.
I got an idea.
Yeah. But it is one of them ones, though, where it's like, if he does win it, I ain't mad about it. It is deserving, too.
Don't lie. If Paul Giamatti wins Best Actor at the Academy Awards, you're going to be seething. You're going to be sorry.
No, I really like him, though, man.
He's
like,
great.
Bro, even in interviews, just as a person, I think this guy is so cool. Like, he's just...
So you're not going to feel any type of way if Paul wins?
Maybe a little bit because
there you go.
Maybe a little bit because I feel like the person that I'm rooting for should have had one of these awards a long time ago. At least one. Or like at least had this much recognition.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, like we've been saying in this movie, Paul Giamatti's performance is was incredible. So in that sense, I can't be mad, you know what I mean, if he does win it. And you can't be mad if the other guy wins it.
I love cinema. Whoever wins, you know, it's
I hate this answer. Wins.
Why? I want everyone to win, bro.
Guys, I just love cinema.
Come on. Don't be hating, bro.
Oh, my goodness. I think The Holdovers came out only recently in the UK as well, doesn't it?
Again, don't even get me started on in distribution issues in this country, man, in the UK.
Something needs to change, man.
It's ridiculous.
Something needs to change, man. But, guys, okay, we're going to need an STC score from you. I'm going to let you go first this time.
This is the easiest 8.5 I'm ever going to give in my whole life. Such a great film. And it's so close to a 9.
Yeah.
So close. Honestly, I think if I watch it again, it'll be a 9. Honestly.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, I want to give it an 8, but I don't know what could have been done for me to get those extra 2. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I don't know. Like, I don't have any, like, hey, maybe they could have done this and I would have gone to a 9 out of 10, or they could have done this and it would have been a 10 out of 10. I don't know what it is, but it's just, I just can't give it a 9 or a 10.
The reason why I'm going to give it an 8.5 is because I felt like they relied too much on certain kind of needle drops. Like, they use so many Cat Stevens songs throughout this film. I don't know if you realize.
Okay.
Now, to try and elicit a certain feeling in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it worked though, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
It did work.
But yeah, 8.5 from Hanshi, 8 for me. I mean, I think 8 is, I think it's as high as any movie rating I'm probably going to give so far in 2023. It's probably the highest so far.
It's the highest I've given.
2024, excuse me.
I think 8.5 is probably the highest I've given so far, yeah.
Even though this movie officially came out in 2023. Listen, Sony, Paramount, name me some studios, man.
Lionsgate.
All of you.
Behave yourself.
Be
honest, bro. It's ridiculous.
Behave yourself. Just release them all at the same time.
3 months after. You know what I mean? Ridiculous. It's
crazy. But yeah, what can you do? You got to work with what you got, innit?
Exactly.
But anyway, guys, that was the review for The Holdovers. Jump in the comments. Let us know what you guys think. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell so you know when the uploads are coming out. Do hit the comments though, because I do want to know what people think about this.
Oh, 100%.
And do you think Paul Giamatti is the front runner for best actor?
Or do you think someone else is going to win it?
Yeah, in the Academy Awards. Yeah, someone else. Kili. I ain't going to say too much. That's all I'm going to say. But guys, we'll see you guys soon. Peace.